It's about to get unruly.
Order in the court.
It's Rivalry Week. Ducks. Beavers. This is a Rivalry Week edition of the firm of Harris and Meringue, brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup.
Sadiq in motion to the right, going to pitch it to Lamar going left, and he will stroll into the end zone. Touchdown, Oregon!
Keeping the peace from 10 to 1 on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
All right, two down, one to go. We'll take you all the way up to Ducks Insider from 1 to 2 with Joey Mack, and then the Fan Happy Hour, Luke Anderson 2 to 3, and then it's prime time 3 to 7 to take you all the way home. It's Thursday. That means bonus coverage. You got it. Recruiting with Andrew Nemec from 7 to 8, wrapping up 14 hours of continuous live, local, regional sports talk coverage, 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Tomorrow's show, Friday, an old football Friday in Rivalry Week. I feel bad on a Friday doing this, but it was just how schedules lined up. We'll have Chris Fetters on. He's our UW guy. And we'll have Alex Brink on, who's our Wazoo guy, who spent a lot of time talking Civil War. There is the Apple Cup this weekend, and, you know, both programs are kind of in a similar situation, albeit differently, but similarly. So it'll be nice to talk to Chris Fetters, maybe about a little Jed Fish situation, how good UW really is. And there's open quarterback competition in Pullman. And
not controversy, because there's nobody good enough to be like, yeah, it's a controversy. It's a, who wants this job?
And coming off the North Texas game, will they show signs of life? So we'll have both those guys on tomorrow, plus kind of just looking into the weekend as well. But, you know, speaking of the Pac-12 or the future of the Pac-12 in Oregon State and Washington State being kind of the head and above better programs, financially more stable programs of the of what that conference looks like. Look, if that conference existed today, it's not pretty. It's not pretty, which had me kind of looking around, and I know we kind of every week look in on who is the group of five challenger for the playoff, you know. But even Tulane doesn't look amazing.
No, let's see if they beat Ole Miss this week.
I agree. And that will change things. But look, we were real high on our skis of South Florida, and Miami took them to the woodshed pretty solidly.
Yep.
And that happens with G5 teams, G6, however we're going now.
I'm looking right now in the polls. The only independent is Notre Dame. Independent slash group of five in the top 25.
Yeah, and where's your receiving votes? You got Army, Tulane, Boise State.
So in the AP,
North Texas,
the highest is USF. So technically they would be 27th. After that, Tulane would be, let's see, 28, 29, 30, 31st. And then UNLV is like 36th, and Navy would be 37.
I think the point of this whole conversation is that I truly fear for the future of this G5, in the sense that I don't think it's going to take many years for a G5 team to get completely blown out in a college football playoff, that they no longer have a seat at the table, that you've got to be a top 14 program to get in. Because I don't know if any of these teams are going to be a top 14 program by the end of the year. Looking at, you know, I looked at the rest of Tulane's schedule. I've looked at the rest of Army's schedule. I've seen the rest of South Florida. It ain't much. Boise State's got a big one with Notre Dame. But there isn't a whole lot left on the table. And something we'll get into tomorrow where, you know, big power teams are now canceling big out-of-conference matchups because they're too worried. They're going to have to play an extra game. I'm scared that this will push out. You know, do you think Notre Dame is stoked that they have Boise State on the schedule, knowing they're 0-2 right now?
No. Even though Boise State did not acquit themselves against USF.
Agreed.
But you're still looking at that. That's not, you're not playing,
you're looking at the preseason odds on favorite to be in the playoffs.
You're not playing Chattanooga.
Nope.
Like, Boise State is still a program that is functional. And if you're not, again, was it Northern Illinois or Southern Illinois? I always get mixed up.
Northern Illinois
that snapped Notre Dame last year, reached up and bit them on the ankles.
And
college football, no matter how good you are, you can get got on any day.
Totally. You can get Gott on any day, but I fear that the future of the G5, which will directly affect the Pac-12, is that your big out-of-conference game is going to be against...
directional school.
No. That if you're Washington State, if you're Oregon State, if you're Tulane, Boise State, your best out-of-conference game is going to be Wisconsin on a down year.
Oh, yeah.
Or Missouri on a down
somebody
year.
Somebody who needs it.
Somebody who needs it instead of you actually getting a shot at the big boy, which will diminish the end-of-year results for any of these teams because they USF won't have a Florida to beat. Mm-hmm. That like that might stay regionally, but who's to say Florida continues to be great? You know,
or does Oregon continue to schedule Boise State because Boise State's gotten them a few times?
Right? Yeah. Does Oregon stop with that?
It's like, let's not do that anymore. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, yeah, Oregon beat them last year, but it was not you didn't run away from them.
And that's why I think that's where this might get them fired up, but that's where you if you're Oregon State and Washington State want to keep the Civil War and the Apple Cup, because look, you might get bludgeoned by Oregon every year, and you might get bludgeoned by the Huskies every single year.
But when you don't,
that might be the best quote hardest game on your schedule every year. And if you can catch them once, you may not have those other opportunities. You know, like I don't know if is USC going to schedule Boise State. I wouldn't if I were them.
Well, USC,
like if we're living in this world of protecting our non-conference, mm-hmm. I know the
you don't have to go that far.
I know the committee is saying that it matters, your non-conference, but if everybody doesn't do it, then it doesn't matter.
But not only that, like USC, Notre Dame, it's up in the air.
Yeah.
It's one of the longest running,
is it worth it?
Biggest rivalries in college football.
I would argue it's worth it.
I
would argue it's worth it for USC. I don't know if it's worth it for Notre Dame.
It is worth it
for
Notre Dame.
If you're throwing Miami, A&M, Boise State, and USC in a year?
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
Go look at Notre Dame's schedule over the last 5 years, because this is that one year where they actually have a schedule.
Because if SC loses that game, they could have big wins over Illinois. They could have big wins over Oregon. They could have big wins in their conference. Mm-hmm. And I think it will just shun people away from getting involved in Group of Five, unless it's a Utah State that's been bad for 3 years and has a brand new coach.
Here's the other side of this where I go with the transfer stuff. Think how good Tulane would be right now if Darian Mensah and Mekhi Hughes were still there.
Truth. They'd have been preseason top 20, maybe.
Now, the quarterback they have is BYU. Mm-hmm. It's Retzlaff.
He's good.
Because of everything that happened to BYU, so he had to go somewhere. But if Tulane had Darian, like I looking
you
around the
love
country,
Mensah. We talk in the break all the time.
Like
you are constantly slurping him.
Like it is a. If you're asking me if I'm an NFL team right now and I'm looking at the quarterback crop, Mensah's my guy. Mm. Mensah's my like. Find me a quarterback that has been better than him this year. Like genuinely, find
like
me a quarterback.
I like, that
has
I like
been
the
better.
Kid at Utah.
But you're also talking about a 5'10" quarterback.
Well, Bryce Young was the number one overall pick and a Heisman winner.
Yeah. Give me the 6'3", 220-pound dude who's an athlete who is an absolute cannon attached to his arm.
Fair. Like, I'm teasing.
But I know what you're saying. Dan Pierce, like, if you wanted to give me a – if Utah goes out there and bludgeons Texas Tech
– God, I hope they do.
I'm half tempted before that game to place a relatively sizable bet on Dan Pierce for Heisman. Mm. Because if he goes out there and balls out against Texas Tech – there's been nobody else who has seized control of an Heisman narrative. If he goes out there, throws for 250, runs for 100, and has four touchdowns in a game that they win by two scores, he will skyrocket
right
to the top of the Heisman.
And we'll take a peek at that game tomorrow. And I guess what I'm saying is those Dampiers are always gone from New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So then New Mexico is now worthy to play a giant school because they know they're just going to smack you around. I worry that the future of G5 teams actually playing big-time national contender or even the tier below that, the playoff contending teams, will go away. And it will water down the G5 and make that team that gets into the playoff look so bad that they will eventually eliminate an automatic G5 bid.
And this is where
you've got to be undefeated and you're Oregon State and caught Oregon that year and then ran the table and you're number 9 in the nation. Or hell, number 13 in the nation.
And this is the differentiation. This is where the 40-team super conference comes in. You're either in or you're not.
Yeah.
And that's where the group of five goes away. Because if you're, because the way I envision this, it becomes two tiered. The 40 team super conference, and then there's another 40 teams, and then there's everybody else.
Dude, you give me relegation, I'm in.
I'll go Josh Pate. You make me the commissioner of college football. It is a 40 team super conference with a 2-year window with a rotating four teams. Four teams at the bottom out, four teams from the bottom up. Yeah, that's how I'd do it.
I'm hella in.
I'd do that in a heartbeat.
I would too.
Because let's say the worst thing possible happens to Alabama and DeBoer's just not it, and all of a sudden they're Bama pre-Saban.
Mike Shula Bama.
What happens if Bama gets relegated? You're not telling me that's not one of the biggest stories in college football?
Well, also, you know, in a relegation sport that we watch, the Power Six in the Premier League are never getting relegated. Well,
we say that.
Well, United is sure knocking on that door.
We say that, though. We've seen it. My team, Everton, came very, very,
they are
very close.
But my argument is they aren't a Power Six.
Okay, that's fine. They're a power.
They're a longstanding.
Yes, they're a power 10, 12.
They're very historical, but if they went down, it wouldn't shock me. United goes down, that's a shock.
But we've also seen it, you know, with, again, not to get too Premier League, but like with a QPR. They were a perennial great team in that league. And then, bleh. I think that... I know the Oregon States and the Washington States of the world don't want to hear that. Like, you have a chance to be in the 40-team super conference kind of a deal. But then if it's decided at that point. Mm. You're either in or you're out, or you're in the other one, and you're constantly trying to get back up, but you know what table you're at.
Mm. Yeah, and if you're trying to get back up, you will schedule those games, and teams will schedule it because you're in the lower tier and they just assume you're okay. That might be the only way to get it. Because right now, if I'm looking at my schedule next year and I got national championship playoff aspirations and I got a Boise State on there, I got a USF on there, I might be looking at how to get out of that game. And you're really only looking at that point, you're looking at regional rivalries. And if you're USF, you're hoping that you keep Miami and or Florida and or Florida State on your docket over the next few years, because that might be your only shot at getting a real team to play you.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of this, you know, hey, we'll play you in Vegas and pay you $3 million to get your ass whooped. Because nobody wants to be that team gets paid to get their ass whooped.
Yeah, no, I can't remember who it was. Somebody just extended their rivalry, or not rivalry, but like a matchup schedule out to like 2040.
Mm, fun.
And I was like, am I going to be alive?
Is college football alive in 2040? That's the real question.
The world is going to end.
Is this guy the savior for Mario? I think so. This might be the hottest take I've got of the year. So stick around for that. Like I said, that's Danny Morang. I'm Patrick Harris. This is Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 The Fan. Crazy Champions League games going on right now. Di Lorenzo for Napoli just got a red card. He gone.
He gone.
And Robert Lewandowski is more tan than I am.
Good Lord. Spend some time in Barcelona, Spain.
Some good games on right now. You got a Spanish team in England. You got a Italian team in England.
They're bringing some flavor.
I love Champions League.
For a nation that expanded spice routes, no spice in their food.
Okay. All right. You big meanie.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
Okay.
At the beginning of this season, I made fun of this guy, and I continue to call him the vampire, as it kind of drives me crazy when I look into his eyes and he looks into mine and I feel like I'm going to die.
Mm.
And that is Carson Beck. And
I want to suck your blood.
I think he's got a lot of that going. But there's been a lot of talk. I'm actually going to have a side conversation with Mr. Sprague. Later on about our show prep similarities as I was listening to them this morning coming in. And, you know, we're seeing the best Mario Cristobal team we've ever seen, whether he was at Oregon or whether he's here.
Yeah.
In terms of talent across the board, that defense looks really nice. But there's a lot of issues that Cristobal deals with his own demons.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that is, like, my mother used to get very, very angry back in the day. She was a big Eagles fan. Loved Andy Reid, but absolutely drove her nuts with his clock management. Enter Mario Cristobal. Same sort of situations.
Hold my beer.
Same sort of situations. And I've really come full circle on Carson Beck being the potential savior for this Miami team. And I think a lot of it is because he, to me, of all the quarterbacks, as this conversation continues to go and will continue to go until someone proves us wrong about how disappointing this quarterback class is this year in college football, is that Carson Beck might be the only adult in the room.
Which is insane to think about when you factor in all of the off the field Carson Beck.
The fact that you transfer from Kirby Smart, who's one of, if not the best guy still around, to Cristobal, who might need a little help. Like Swag says this on the morning show all the time. And at first I was like, no player would do that. But then I kept listening to it and I kind of agree. He believes that Carson Beck would be the guy that if Cristobal tells him to do something, be like, dude, we're not doing that. And I can't think of any quarterback in college that would do that ever, unless you're an exploding situation. Like Billy Napier and Lagway, if that happened between them, I'd buy it because that's a sinking ship. And we're all pointing fingers now on whose fault it is for that being a sinking ship.
But Beck's also kind of, not an adult, he's kind of an a-hole. I mean, kind of. He's like, everything we know about him publicly.
He's got the juice.
Well, I don't know if he's got the juice.
Well, I mean, like, the juice of the FU juice.
He does have that, but he's like, he's a jerk. Like, if you want to, go read about him and just general stuff. Like, he's not a great guy.
Oh, I know. I'm fully aware, which is part of why I rag on him, because he's not my favorite dude to root for.
But because he is kind of an a-hole, I think the FU energy is, I don't give a bleep.
Yeah.
And maybe that is the good counter to Mario.
Maybe that is the connection,
you know what I mean,
to Mario. Mario's like, not the softest guy in the world either.
And maybe there's a level of respect for that.
Maybe.
But I also
see that ego meets ego, but the ego like yours is an ego like mine.
It's a, you know, respect the game kind of deal, but I also see that as a potential, you know, combustible point.
And I'm trying, you know, we keep asking this question, you know, any show you listen to, they got a guest or it's themselves, any this station, other stations, nationally, locally, whatever it is. Everyone's trying to figure out who the best team in college football is. And we don't know the answer.
We don't know.
It's really hard. Quarterback play has been really rough. Whether it's a senior or a freshman, a transfer or a 3-year starter, like
nobody is, every single team has a question.
And even those that are rattling off wins, you know, Penn State, Oregon next week, who they really played.
Yeah.
You know, we haven't seen
them. Neither team has played anybody.
Totally. This is why I'm like excited to talk to Chris Fetters tomorrow about UW. Not that UW's in a Penn State, Oregon world, but how good are they? I got no idea. I got no idea how they're good. I think I'm talking myself into Miami being the best team in the nation. And I think a lot of it has to do with they have the most stable quarterback play of everyone.
At least tested
for sure. And you've had some games this year already, and you're going to have more games to come. There's something about what Beck and Cristobal have going that from a personal perspective, I don't want to get into, but from content for us, and from just talking about how I see it, that might be the combination that Nussmeier and Kelly are missing, that Klubnik and Dabo are missing, Aller and Franklin are missing. I don't know if Dante and Dan are missing that. I think those guys are pretty locked in on the same page. But I would argue Dante and Lanning are not Carson Beck and Mario in the sense of personality.
No, God.
Like, Lanning might be crazy, but I don't think anybody really says Lanning's a jerk. I think he's just high energy.
Yeah.
To where Mario's got a lot of critiques out there, justifiably so. That's why I might be talking myself into this.
And that's the thing about this college football season, is that you can make an argument for a couple different teams. If you wanted to say Ohio State's the best team in the country, fine. If you want to
two of the best five players in the game right now.
And Day has the juice. And you can say, well, the question is quarterback. If you want to say Oregon's best team in the country, fine.
I can hear it.
I'll hear the argument. If you want to say Florida State the best team in the country,
I'll hear it.
Fine, I'll hear it.
Like, LSU has had two tough games and won them both,
and their defense is very much real.
Very, very good.
Like, you can make an argument for 10 teams.
And I think what I'm saying is the only teams I can argue look the part.
Georgia,
across the board.
You want to say Georgia's the best team in the country? Sure, they went into Neyland and won.
They did, but Tennessee also kind of lost that.
Honestly, there are seven teams. The top seven teams: Ohio State, Penn State, LSU, Miami, Georgia, Oregon, Florida State. Every one of those teams, you can make a compelling argument as the best team in the country. And I may disagree with you. I'm not mad at you.
I think there's only two teams that I love the balance for, though.
Okay.
Top to bottom.
Who?
I think it's Miami, and I think it's Oregon.
I think Florida State. Castellanos is a dude. Defense is good. That defense punked Alabama.
Yeah, I agree, but I'm also, from an aesthetic look, from an eyeball test, okay, I like the Oregon D and the Miami D better. I mean, I like LSU's D better than everybody, but I hate that offense. And if I had Brian Kelly on this show right now, the first thing I would ask him is, why does your offense suck so bad?
Hell, also,
especially on third down.
I'll throw an eighth team in there.
You caught on.
Yeah, I hope y'all have a bleep day.
If you want to tell me that Colt and Texas A&M, that they're the best team in the country, okay.
I hope y'all had a shitty day.
Yeah, you too, brother. I think what I'm trying to tell you, though, is because of Carson Beck's experience and because of Carson Beck's so far beginning success in comparison to his peers, that makes me feel better about the most all-around team.
Of those eight teams, who's the most experienced?
Carson Beck.
Almost like that's supposed to be a trend marker, like a team that I wouldn't put in here, but is the next team on this list, is Illinois. Who do they have at quarterback?
Yeah.
Luke Altmyer. Very tested, very successful. The one that we all thought in Klubnik
has looked the worst.
Of the experience. Arch has looked the worst. Him and Lagway.
Lagway said, hold my beer.
Yeah. Like, those guys have looked horrendous. Sellers gets a little bit of a pass because he got injured. But, like, you go up and down this list, man.
But that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
By the way, side note, how much of a jerk do you have to be for Georgia to say no and you're the best quarterback in the nation right now? Maybe the best. Like, if Carson plays this well, I mean, I know Carson had his issues at Georgia last year, but he's playing this year this well for this Georgia team, I would take him.
No, Gunnar Stockton showed up against Tennessee.
And he's looked good, but nobody is.
But also,
Gunnar Stockton is, 35th down the list of best quarterbacks in college football.
Anytime this kind of situation comes up, I love Family Guy. And there's a clip where they have a Smokey and the Bandit. And it's, Burt Reynolds and Sally Fields in the Trans Am or in the Firebird. And as they're walking away, he's like, I think it's Brian goes, or Stewie goes, good luck with that Sally Fields tale. And Burt Reynolds' character goes, I don't like it any more than you do. Like, that's what I look at, like, with Georgia, with Carson Beck versus Gunnar Stockton. Yeah. Like,
I don't like Beck's it, but better, we're doing but, it.
Hey, I don't care. I don't like it any more than you do, but we're going with this guy.
Yeah, that's the cast. I hated the last casting. All right, when we come back, our overlords are ready to step in another spot, and we'll see how that plays out. We'll have fun with it, but we'll toss it over to the big kahuna over there. He's got a sports update for you.
Hamburgers, the cornerstone of any nutritious breakfast.
Closing arguments is next. Send us off on our day and send you well on your way to the afternoon. Update from our overlords. Bezos. I might start a list on the board behind me of our overlords. Have we kept track of all the overlords that I claim we have? We've got Bezos. We now live in the Panda Overlord. Panda Express is now running our life.
Panda.
Is Panda, there Panda, any Panda, any Panda. Anybody else we're missing? Bezos, Panda. I don't want to give Goodell the credit.
No.
That might be our only overlords for now.
I'm telling you, man, we need to.
I mean, ESPN's trying.
I think Sprague said it. I don't know if he said it on air, that renaming the building from Moda Center to the Panda Garden.
Be dope.
So you'd have, like, kind of a nod to the Rose Garden, but also Panda. Panda, 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 panda.
Panda, panda. Don't you want the panda, panda?
That's not where I was going with that, but we'll go.
I know, but I love that song. I sing it for my kids.
There you go. I want a little designer panda.
Ooh, Rufio telling me overlords, Dusty.
Mm. Oh, that's true.
That is true. Yeah. He can make the list.
He is a Darth Vader turning him.
Yeah, I'm sure. One of the top five nicest guys I've ever met in my life.
Anakin was a good kid, too.
Well, but, hate, jealousy, and fear.
See?
I don't catch those in Dusty.
No, but they can get you.
You're tugging at my heartstrings up there. I like what you did there. I understood that reference. To borrow from Marvel. Yeah. Amazon is joining ESPN, CBS, Paramount Plus as broadcast partners for the Masters in 2026. They're going to air 2 hours of extra coverage right before ESPN fires up on Thursday and Friday. The stats on this... the 2026 Masters will have 27 total hours of broadcast coverage, 50% more than was broadcast in 2024. Dude, there needs to be more, man. I'm tired of the noon thing on ESPN. However, I counter with this. The Masters app is the best sporting experience on an app you can have. You can choose the groups you want to follow. You can sit at Amen Corner all day.
They said, hey, you know what we should
15
do?
15 and 16
the
all
things
day?
You want, here they are.
I know.
It's so easy to get this right, and yet nobody does. It's like, but we want to cater to make sure they do. It's like, give people what they want, and they'll go do it.
That's true.
It's crazy how that works.
I mean, baseball's pretty close. No. The thing that they have against them is the blackouts.
Yes.
That's what kills them.
But again, like,
to where it'd be like, if I'm from Northern Ireland, and I am now, I can't watch Rory. I'm blacked out on the app.
What the hell?
I can't watch Rory. I'm black. I can't watch Scotty Scheffler because I'm from Texas.
Yeah. You're like,
right? He's from Texas? I hope I got that right. Or Oklahoma.
I can't remember.
I don't remember either.
Look, I am all for the world of more in general.
I think I was thinking of Jordan Spieth.
We don't need more. We don't need more. Isn't Scheffler like a Jersey guy?
Yeah, he is a Jersey guy. I was thinking of Jordan Spieth.
There you go. I don't know why that clicked in my head all of a sudden. I was like, wait, Jersey, isn't it? I don't care. If Amazon was giving extended coverage of the event.
I know.
I don't need more pregame.
Well, I was curious if they were going to take over the Masters app. Yeah, just the Masters app. Like ESPN and CBS will still have their stuff. But I was curious if they were just going to run the app.
That's
like put the infrastructure into it. That would be huge eyeballs for Amazon.
Because Amazon, for those that don't know, AWS, Amazon Web Services, basically run everything.
Yeah, it pretty much does.
We're getting to a point on the NBA side of things. NBA League Pass, when you're talking about apps that are great, it is the worst.
Yeah.
Amazon is going to take it over.
We're watching Champions League on Paramount Plus, and that app is brutal.
Sucks. And it's like the access to it is just not good. And the picture quality can get really good, but it can also vacillate to, but it's like, it's just make it easy.
Yeah.
Make it work.
Mm-hmm.
Like that whole part, like I am pro Amazon getting into sports. I am pro YouTube getting into sports because
in
production quality, they are unmatched. They are unbeaten. Nobody comes close.
Friday Night Baseball looks so good.
Nothing comes
close.
Thursday
night looks awesome tonight.
Amazon Thursday Night Football. Nothing comes close. I don't know about you. I watch the alternate broadcast on Amazon, the analytics overlays. Because that's the stuff that I love. But you're giving me access to something where the picture quality is the best. The production quality is the best. Everything about it is best in slot, best in class, best delivery. Mm-hmm. Hands down. It's not close. So if you're saying that Amazon or YouTube is taking over the Masters or they're taking over the NBA or they're taking over NFL or taking over whatever. Good. Great. Grant. Awesome. I'm in. Or step your damn game up, everybody else.
Yeah. Competition will push you to be something better. I definitely wanted them to be more a part of baseball when ESPN was going through that thing of potentially not really wanting to be part of baseball anymore. And now they are part of baseball. So I don't know what to think. But I'm just down for more coverage, more eyeballs, more higher quality. Give it to me. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays. The NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. When we come back, we'll wrap it up and call it a day as closing arguments are the last thing on the board. One more inch closer to Friday. 105.1 The Fan.
The firm of Harris and Marang is wrapping up for the day.
You want answers?
Which means it's time for the closing arguments.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
On the Fan Sports Network.
You can't handle the truth.
105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, that'll do it for us. See ya.
See you later, bye.
I am fascinated by these games right now.
That's a good sucker on.
There's a red card in this Napoli game. For those of you that don't follow football very much, when you're playing in high leverage games with a lot on the line, like this Manchester City and Napoli game in Champions League, when you get a red card and you go down a man, you start doing what we call park the bus, which is basically just
playing defense for the next 95% of the game.
Yeah, and it is so hard to do because you cannot make mistakes in any way, shape, or form. And boy, this Napoli team is figuring out. If there's anybody that can park the bus, It's those damn Italians.
Yep, they know how to
they
do it.
They know how to park the bus. The Greeks parked the bus all through the Euros in 2002 and won it.
It's helpful.
They beat Portugal, who had a young kid named Cristiano.
Mm.
But it's difficult with this Man City team because they're just studs everywhere.
To pivot away from soccer, I'm going to bring up what we just talked about.
Sure.
So I want it public.
Oh, okay.
There is.
I am not afraid. I want you to know.
I know.
This is 10 toes down.
That's what I want.
This is one of the most firm things. Ooh, I like what I did there.
There you go.
One of the most firm things I will ever stand on. And I have no problem talking about this.
Okay, perfect. I have said this for probably about a year now, but definitely since you and I
have been working together. Correct.
A salary cap is coming to baseball.
No, it's not.
It's
not going to happen.
The momentum is coming. And now we off air, I said, okay, I'll bet a nice dinner on that. So we're going to have a steak dinner bet that a salary cap is coming to baseball.
I recently had dinner at the restaurant at the Ritz-Carlton.
Oh, there you go. I haven't been there yet.
Amazing.
Great.
I did not pay.
Okay. Nah.
For I could not.
There you go.
That could be a spot.
I'm a Gaucho / Ruth Chris guy. Okay. I do both those.
I've never been to a Ruth Chris. Oh, Ruth's Chris.
Yeah, it's good.
I've never been.
Solid. Wife and I were taking a trip, and I screwed up the reservation, made it the next day. Mm-hmm. It was Michael Jordan Steakhouse. We went up there for...
ooh, we could do that.
Yeah, we went up there for... we got tickets. The guy hooked up here to go see Gabriel Iglesias, the stand-up comedian.
Yes, I know.
And I was like, you know what? We'll go up there and do that and get a steak dinner. Well, I got the reservation for the next day because I was a dumbass. And so I was like, well, and Ruth Chris happened to have an opening.
Nice.
And so we just drove back down and hit that up and had a crazy good steak dinner.
Well, the challenge on this is that if they do instill a salary cap, you would win the bet.
Mm-hmm.
But if they don't, they could later on down the road. So how do I win this bet? You're talking about the next agreement?
Yeah.
The next CBA will have a salary cap? I'll put three dinners on that.
I'm just putting one.
I was about to say something real stupid and give you some odds. I'm not going to do that.
Almost got you.
I owe a good buddy of mine two dinners. He's a Husky. This is why I don't bet on the Cougs. We had two back-to-back Apple Cup bets, and I lost one of them, and he goes, double or nothing? And I go, double or nothing.
Mm.
We lost again.
I have a standing scotch bet with a Notre Dame alum on the Jewel Shillelagh. I have given more than I have received recently.
If you receive, what are you going to do with that? Can I have it?
I take it. Thank you. Sits
on a shelf, collects dust.
It does for a long period of time. Then I go, you know what? It's time to open that.
It's time to open that. And what does it take for you to open that scotch?
I don't know. It's usually a feel. It's a feel thing.
Number 18 lifts up a little trophy, a little statue that looks like this.
You know, definite strong celebratory tones.
Booze in our house collects less dust than the glasses of water that the little girl in Signs wants to continuously throw away.
Yeah, facts. There you go.
The booze in my house collects less dust than like anything.
We have historically given each other booze for our birthdays here. Dusty got me
nobody got me anything. I was even on the air on my birthday.
Well, yeah, it was like right as we started the show.
Yeah, it shows how much you love me.
Well, I
could have started off on a better foot.
I didn't know.
Could have started off on a better foot.
Dusty gave me a bottle of tequila 2 years ago. 2 years ago, it's still there. It's not unopened, but it's slowly gone down.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly gone down.
To the texter that's calling me a welcher for not paying up on this. My amigo lives in Seattle, but he is moving down to town.
Mm.
And he's one of my oldest, closest
friends.
Weren't
you just in Seattle 2 weeks
ago?
Yeah,
but I was there on business.
Oh, you didn't have any downtime, huh?
I did not have
Didn't go out to dinner?
No, I had the Coug game.
Oh. So what'd you do for dinner?
I ate at the bar.
Oh.
Because I owe him a nice dinner.
Mm. Almost like you could have gone there instead of the bar.
No, because then I can't watch the game while I'm at the nice dinner.
Mm. How many nights were you up there for?
I got there late Friday. Remember, I left late.
Yeah. Sounds like you could have left earlier.
No, I didn't want to.
Mm, see? That's something a welcher says.
I really don't like that I told you that. I really don't like it.
Why? Because I lorded it over you?
No, because you're just going to find a way to make me wrong.
Mm.
I don't like that.
Mm.
I don't like that. Stop mmming it too. That makes it worse. It's like when you're like, please don't poke me, and you keep poking. It's like, oh, dude, stop.
Yeah, I know.
Knock it off.
I don't do well with that.
Here we are, day two in a row. Is it time? Jeff, where's the damn music?
Just
almost there.
Wait. We need to get Harris like a little ladder for his chair that he can just climb up further and further and further.
God, feels like it, man. Yeah. Here I was all stoked to be 10 toes down and on a firm statement, and now I'm just like wandering and waffling and wafering and whatever you want to say in my chair, and I'm just like looking at my watch. I don't even have a watch.
I mean, Dirt and I, we're going to come up with a bet for the Oregon-USC game.
You want way more on the line than he does.
No, he was okay.
With the face paint?
Yeah, he said it. Yeah.
Oh, I'd have lost that bet.
Yeah. So we're gonna look at it, what the spread is going into that game.
And you're gonna bet on the spread? You guys should be betting full on win or lose.
Well, it depends on where things are at.
I don't think that spread's gonna be that big when it gets there.
Well, I don't think so either, but we'll see where it's at.
What if the spread is 5.5?
Debatable.
What if it's 6.5?
That's kind of the if it's honestly, if it's 3.5 or less, we'll go straight up.
What if it's straight up? You'll go okay. So if if it's the home favorite points and a hook,
yeah,
you'll go.
We'll go straight up.
Straight up.
Yeah. If it's that close, we'll go straight up. But beyond that, then you start getting into other stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like eh.
The lock could go weird at that time.
Yeah. So, and I
don't know if it'll be 3.5.
If you ask me right now what I think it would be, I think it would probably be 5.5. I think if you're looking at projection,
maybe get bet to 6.5.
I could see that. I could see it getting as high as 6.5, maybe 7.5 right now. Depends. Again, you're looking at the FPI and projections at that point. That's why I want to see what happens over the next 3 weeks for both teams.
All right, that'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow as we'll get into our final days of rivalry week as Oregon takes on Oregon State on Saturday. The Apple Cup will have Alex Brink on, Chris Fetters. We'll chat some NFL stuff, recap Thursday Night Football, the whole shebang. Ducks Insider is next. For Danny Morang, Jeff Rust on the ones and twos, I'm Patrick Harris. Go do something I do.
Bye.